With that in mind, let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abundant provision. Help us to have faith in your power, even when the resources seem limited. Teach us to share what we have, knowing that you can multiply it for your glory. We ask all of this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, found in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 14, we have a passage that presents, I'm sorry why I'm so mumbly mouth today, that presents a miraculous story. It's called the feeding of the 5,000. See, this miracle is not only a demonstration of Jesus' divine power, but it's also a powerful lesson about God's provision, the need for faith, and the abundance that comes when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In this passage, we'll explore some key themes about God's provision, the faith that makes miracles possible, and the response that we should have when God moves in his powerful ways. The story begins with Jesus looking out at the crowd of people who have followed him. The text tells us that Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" We're not talking about five people. We're not talking about 500 people. We're talking about thousands of people as far as the eyes can see. Now, Jesus asked this question to Philip. And it's not one of ignorance. It's not one of confusion. He already knew what he was going to do, because John tells us in the following verse, "This he said to prove him." He said it to test Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. See, I want you to notice that specific question that Jesus asked. He said, "Whence shall we buy bread?" He doesn't just see the need for food. He's asking his disciples to consider how to meet that need. I believe that God sometimes brings us into situations where we're confronted with a need that is beyond our ability to meet, a need that is beyond our ability to satisfy, only to reveal to us that it's not just the need that we have, but the fact that he will provide a provision for us. He will make a way out of no way. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In the same way that Jesus sees our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, he's already preparing to meet them. The question is whether we, just like Philip, will trust in God's provision to meet those needs. This moment is similar to when God tested the Israelites in the Old Testament scriptures. For example, in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, God provided manna from heaven when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness hungrily, not knowing where their next meal will be. He asked them to gather it by faith. And then we hit with that word again, faith. He wanted them to trust in him, to have faith in him, trusting that he would provide for them with enough food each and every day that they're in the wilderness. You see, God sees our needs before we even know we have those needs, and he's more than capable of providing for them. He invites us into the process, not only to meet our needs, but also to increase in him what? What do we need to increase? Our faith. All that he has to, that he does, is ask us to trust the process. Philip immediately focused on the reality of the situation. There's a lot of people out there. His response to Jesus' question is, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. It's not enough, Lord, that every one of them may take a little. It's not enough. 200 penny worth is probably a year's salary. But I did look it up. And 200 penny worth today, in today's money, would be equivalent to 15 cents. Maybe things were a little different then. Andrew, who was another disciple, sees that there's a little boy with five loaves of bread and two fishes. And he said, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. And he's being realistic. But what are they among so many? See, Andrew's response is the same as Philip's because he's focusing on the problem, the size of the problem. I know that I would be, and y'all probably would be too. You're looking at 5,000 people out there. And you're like, two loaves of bread. I mean, five loaves of bread and two fish. Come on now. That's barely enough for us. Even though the boy's food is small, Andrew still takes it to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Even though the offering may seem minuscule and insignificant, when you look at the crowd, it's all that they have. But it's more than enough for Jesus to work with. Amen? This boy's smaller offering teaches us a very powerful lesson about God. You see, God doesn't require us to have a whole lot of anything. He only asks that we offer what we have, no matter how small it may seem. Jesus doesn't need our wealth or our resources. What he requires, what he wants from us, is our willingness to offer ourselves, our souls, our trust and our faith to him. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, Paul writes, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. When we offer what we have, whether it's our time, talent, or treasure, God can multiply that small offering for his purposes. Our small offering becomes part of his miraculous provision when we place them into his large, all-encompassing hands. Philip's response is the same response that we sometimes have times in crisis. When we face problems that are too big for us, whether it's financial, relational, or personal, we tend to focus on our limitations. We look at the problem and see how big it is. When we look at the size of the need and the smallness of our resources, we feel hopeless. The miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 teaches us that our solutions are often insufficient. And most of the time, it's inadequate. But when God takes over, when we put our problems in God's hands and lean on those everlasting arms, his provisions are limitless. They're abundant. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed out there. If you just have a little bit of faith. Ye shall see unto this mountain. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. When we shift our focus from the size of the problem to the size of the God that we serve, we open ourselves to the miraculous, to the impossible. You see, our God is a God of abundance. And his provision is more than sufficient to meet all of our needs. And I'm talking about all of our needs combined, and then some. In the same way that Jesus provided food for the masses, he gives grace, peace, joy, and all that we need just by the very presence and the person he is. That boy's simple offering demonstrates the power of faith to bring about miraculous results. Jesus doesn't need our resources. He doesn't need our money. He needs our willingness to trust in him with what we have. As my children would say, and Kendrick Lamar, let me put you on game. After receiving this boy's offering, Jesus instructs the people to sit down. And then what does he do? He performs the miracle. He takes the small offering, gives thanks, and multiplies it. The people don't just receive a token portion, some little small tiny bit that they put in their mouth and they can't taste it. Let me put it this way. After they eat their portion, their stomachs are what? Their stomachs are filled. As a matter of fact, there's so much food left over that after everyone had eaten, that Jesus tells the disciples to gather up the leftovers. And it fills not one basket, not two, but 12. Not bad from five loaves of bread and two fish, right? Jesus doesn't merely meet our needs. He provides for them in abundance. He satisfies us completely, and he gives more than enough for that journey ahead. When Jesus provides, he does it in a way that overflows more than we could ever ask for. And what does that take? Just faith. That five-letter word. This is a reminder that in Christ, we don't merely get by. We don't squeak by. We thrive because of his abundance. Amen? See, later on in the same chapter, but not in this passage, in verse 35 of chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. The people were amazed by this miracle, and I know if I was there, I would be too. I mean, we're talking about feeding 5,000 people, and that's just counting the men. They had their family with them, most likely, children, their wives. We're talking about an easy 12,000 people. They recognized him as the prophet that should come into the world. See, this moment reinforces their recognition that Jesus is more, much more than a teacher or a healer. He is the fulfillment of God's promise. Promises that were made to us in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. However, I still believe that they misunderstood his true mission. Jesus didn't come into the world just to physically feed the hungry. He came to offer them the same thing that we have now. And that offering is eternal life by faith in his blood. The blood that was spilled on Calvary. The blood that paid for all of our sins. As believers, we must ask ourselves, if we follow Jesus only for his miracles and blessings, or if we truly, and I mean truly, understand him as the Savior, as our Lord and Savior, who calls us to eternal transformation through that five-letter word called faith. As we face challenges, my brothers and sisters, we're called to trust in God's provision. We're invited to offer what we have, no matter how small it is, and watch as our God multiplies it. Most importantly, we're asked to receive Jesus as the bread of life. The one who satisfies our hunger. The one who satisfies our thirst. That is deep within our soul. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.